Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there. And welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest, well, she's actually known as another name. It's Lad Baby Mum, mum of two. I would say, how do you even word that? She's had the last two Christmas number ones. She's written a book and she was Celebrity Mum of the Year 2019.
I know.
It's Roxanne Hoyle. Hi! I mean, that's quite
an intro, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mental for someone who can't sing. But yeah, hi, thanks.
Well, so obviously, like, Christmas number one.
I know.
To go for it once is one thing.
Yeah.
To go for it twice
is unbelievable, actually. Yeah, it's quite a experience and something I never thought after meeting Mark or doing Lab Baby that we would have a Christmas number one twice. Yeah. I think we're like, we're up there now with the Beatles and the Spice Girls.
Oh my God.
I know.
Has anyone ever done it three times?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Beatles did it third, but yeah, I mean, I love the Spice Girls. I was always a fan, so yeah, I can sort of say that now, but yeah, it's a crazy thing to achieve that, and well, yeah, blown my mind. I can't explain it. It's quite weird.
And there's a massive reason why you went for it.
Oh, yes, obviously. It was, so obviously my husband is crazy.
No. But for anyone who doesn't know, you two kind of prank each other all the time.
Yeah.
Your videos that you share online are little snippets of you two as a couple and kind of exploring life with kids.
Yeah.
And it's very funny and wind each other up a lot.
Yeah. So Lab Baby is kind of a family. Well, I would say now it's like a family entertainment channel. That's what people say to me. Oh, your family. Yeah, you're the family. But it's just us, me and my husband, my two little boys. And Mark started Lab Baby and we film our life. And Mark does crazy sometimes pranks. I do them back now because I'm just like, you know what? You're not having all the
but
fun.
But I think the day that you wrapped his car in your face for Valentine's Day was I think that was the first video I'd ever seen of yours. And it made me howl with laughter.
I mean, that was my favourite moment in life. And I've, you know, apart from my children, but it was up there. It was Valentine's Day and I was like, what can I get a man that has everything? So I got my face blown up and put it on the side of his car about 2,900 times and filmed it and it was the best thing ever. That
you
video
literally
was insane.
Not tell each other what you're planning? Do you just go for it?
No, they're all like real reactions and stuff. I didn't tell him at all that. I took his car and just went, going to go and do this, and I filmed it and he hated it and he still drives it. I make him still drive that car, but that video was insane. Over 70 million people watched that around the world, because we have like 20 million people who watch us a week.
That's
on Lab
crazy.
Baby. Yeah, so Facebook has become like an amazing family for us, and it's all around the world that people message us, because people say, oh, it's pranks and this and that and hacks, and but what it originally and what it is now is like we're trying to do things for good, and we do our videos and we are a normal family, as normal as they are, but you know, we just film our life and people seem to have liked it, and we still can't believe that so many people watch it, but
it's a lovely thing, isn't it, to see a family enjoying themselves as well.
Yeah, it's hard. Parenting's hard, isn't it? And it's like, I look forward to these. Like one week I went rally driving, drift driving around with a champion and I thought I was going to die. And then the week after, I'm like covering Mark's face, his car in my stickers. So every week is slightly different. So those moments in between of parenting, it kind of, you look forward to kind of videos and stuff and the boys love it. But yeah, like, so for Christmas and stuff, we, and even now, we try and do things for good and use our social media for good. And we originally started Lab Baby. Well, Mark started Lab Baby because he didn't know how to parent. He had never even held a baby.
Ever.
Ever.
And he's a big man. So that,
I mean, he's 6'8" and he's like a bear. And he, well, more basketball bear, I would say. He's quite tall. But he, yeah, he'd never held a baby. He'd never pushed a pram. He'd never, like... He didn't know anything. And really, I mean, I'd held a few kids and stuff. My friends had had kids, but we had no clue. So for us, parenting became like, whoa, we get to live our childhood again. Woohoo! There's like cool toys and, you know, we're doing cool things. And we just sort of filmed it. And, you know, there are times where it's hard. So for us, it was something that we used Lab Baby to fill those moments and lift us up. And then we got messages from around the world. I mean, I get thousands a week from people saying, thanks for getting me through this heartache, or I've lost my parents, or, you know, we love watching your family and help them through depression. And
it's a lot of
people
escapism,
use it for anxiety.
It?
Yeah. So it's one of those things that we're just like, wow, like we'll never stop. But for us, it's just something we've created that, and now it's making a big impact, like the Christmas song. It was for the Trestle Trust, so we, for food banks in the UK, and we found out 2 years ago that there was like 14 million people in the UK who just was living in poverty in the UK. And I was like, what? And we went to some food banks this year and stuff, and we've been in and out of them, and they're mums just like me, just in circumstances of, you know, all different kinds of circumstances with their kids. My kids were playing with them, you know, and they're just like, just haven't got food this week. And I was just like, nah, man, it's just not, that shouldn't be happening. So the song every year that we have done, we've donated all the profits to the Trestle Trust. And they've messaged us this year saying it's just changed their charity.
Really?
Yeah, because people were donating. They were walking in from a video. I think a lot of people didn't realise what food banks were. So the video that we did a video where we went into a food bank and just showed you the process of what you would have to go through if it happened to you. And it went massive, that video,
because I think people don't see it, do they?
No,
they hear things about what these places are. You're told whatever,
people are in crisis, or everyone's living in the under the poverty line, but no one really knows what that is. And to be honest, like, me and Mark were like, well, what it would that be for us? So we went in and filmed it, and just kind of, we didn't show anyone. No one really wanted to be filmed, actually. And we just showed the process and the volunteers and stuff. And apparently loads of people turned up going, we've seen their video, we need to help you. So many donations this Christmas that they had to stop accepting them. Yeah. And now, you know, all of the money, it raised over, last year's raised over 70,000 emergency food packages in the UK that went out to families who needed
That's
it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those amazing things when you can team your family, something you really love doing, with just good. You know, there's a lot of people going, doing things that aren't for good, and that's okay. There's a place for that. But for us, we're just about, you know, families and doing good. And
well, for, you know, I'm really behind you. And I just think that what you created and what you do, that is what Christmas is about.
Yeah.
It's about having that community and having each other's backs.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's such a, there is, you know, now I think we're at 6 million that follow us, like across all of it. And we were like, what can we, how can we use that? And how can we, this Christmas, people want to give for 99p. If you can afford that, that's not a lot to download a song. And that song will always donate to that. So in years, if it keeps getting donated over the many years, you know, like the classics, then that will always go to it. So it'll always fund it. No.
Sausage roll songs being part of the classics.
Massive Christmas fan. Mark's a massive sausage roll fan. So yeah, it worked. Crazy, but it was a magical moment for us. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Quite. So what was your childhood like?
Wow. My childhood was actually really, I would say, quite positive. My mum was like, come on, girls, you know, like, she my mum's got my laugh. I said to you earlier, my mum my laugh is from my mum. We're in a room and it's like, it's the same thing. My family were just working class family. Mum, dad, mum worked for a charity. Dad was music and BT, you know, and me and my sister Grace, and we were the normal kind of, not normal, but just, you know, family, like a lot of music in my family, a lot of positive, a lot of families coming over, friends. Every weekend there'd be music. My mum would make wake us up with house music.
No.
She'd be like, come on, girls! And it's like, boom, 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 like through stairs. It's like, mum, and now that's why I'm like, rhythm isn't, you know, I just like all the music because my mum and dad used to sing together and it was just, I was very lucky. I know a lot of people haven't had that, but for me, it was just kind of a normal, you know, holiday a year, and we went camping and we went caravanning, and
yeah,
it was kind of very normal. And I was very lucky to have quite up parents.
Yeah,
my grandparents were a massive influence. They were always in our lives, and yeah, and then it got to a point where I think I was about 17, 18, and I was going off to university. I was severely dyslexic. So I worked really hard to try and get to university. I was awful at maths, English, science, anything. I just couldn't. And my sister was glorious because she taught me maths about 3 days before I went into an exam.
No.
Yeah. And my mum worked out a way of teaching me how to learn. And she was like, right, jump on a trampoline and say then the times tables and all this. And my sister would be like, right, go, like this. And I'd be like, day, five, six, eight. So in my exams, I'd be like, I'd jump.
Bouncing up and
two,
down.
Four, six. And I'd remember through movement, yeah, or like visual. So then I went, so that sounds really weird, doesn't it? But they found ways to get me through that.
Yeah.
And then I went to university and I did art, and surprisingly. And my parents decided that you know, they divorced. Oh. So, yeah, so they decided to split. It just wasn't working. It wasn't like a divorce, like, oh, it wasn't. One minute it was just a family, and then, yeah, the next minute mum and dad were separating.
Yeah.
My parents were very kind of good. We always had Christmases together. They always made sure that me and my sister felt loved, and my sister did her exams. I went to uni and then I went to London. So in that space of time, it was kind of like an amazing, amazing childhood. My parents split. My mum moved and my dad stayed in a family home. My dad then remarried.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say it was kind of like a bad thing. It, yeah, was not that I remember. It was just kind of, it happened.
Yeah.
And we went along with it. And because my parents were very decent in the sense of they kind of, I saw them both and they sort of kept us on a path.
I had a lot of respect for them. At the same age.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad can still have Christmases together.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I feel we had a difficult couple of years where wasn't the case, yeah, where it sort of transitioned.
Yeah.
But now I feel so lucky that, you know, if I say to people, yeah, my mum and dad aren't together, they're like, what? I saw them, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Like my parents, this Christmas came and filmed, like, well, not filmed, but they came into Abbey Road when we were filming, oh, and they were like, we're in Abbey Road. I was like, chill. They're like, can we sing? I'm like, do you want to chill? They're like, come on. I'm like, oh, go on then. And so it was nice. It's like they have always got on for us. And I'm not saying it was like all rainbows and fairies. Yeah, yeah, don't, yeah, get me wrong. But I don't remember it being such a terrible time. It, mm-hmm, was just what happened. And then because I was kind of raised with kind of an upbeat, right, come on, keep on, I kind of kept that.
Yeah.
And at uni, you sort of build a family there anyway, and I made friends, and, you know, it was just fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a fun time.
Did you ever look forward to your, like, starting a family yourself and becoming a mum?
Do you know what? I never really thought about it because I was so like, I want to do art and I want to do this, and I was quite career focused, mm-hmm, in a sense of I know I wanted to be like, just keep on track. I knew I wanted a family for sure because I loved having my family.
Yeah.
And I loved having my sister. And I kind of knew that I wanted that. But I'd had a few relationships and stuff, but I kind of never really felt someone to go, I want your children. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Impregnate me now.
Let's go. I never really felt like come on, let's get married and have babies. I never really felt like that. So I was just like, career, let's enjoy London. And I kind of enjoyed my 20s. I kind of went to festivals and travelled, and I kind of had like a really lovely time. I sound like I'm really... Oh, so great. But I don't know. I just never really thought about family then.
Yeah.
Until I met Mark. We kind of worked and worked, travelled, did some great stuff. And then into like, I think it was like 2015, we were like, shall we try and find somewhere where we can think about having a family? Because I'm a bit older than Mark as well. So I was like, let's go for it. And he was like, yeah, all right, cool. So we bought a house. It wasn't even built. Classic us. And it was kind of just like on an estate, and they built it, and it was kind of just, yeah, a little home that we made. And that's where, yeah, we bought our house. And I don't know if you know this, but we eloped to Las Vegas and got married.
Did you?
Yeah.
Your friends and family know?
No. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, how'd that go?
But we had a massive party for them all.
Nice,
so it was fine.
Yeah,
but we never really again decided to go and do that. We loved Vegas, and we're like, should we go to Vegas, have some fun? Let's go and have a party. And I went, you know what's going to happen if we go to Vegas? And he was like, yeah, we're going to have maybe a bit too much drink, and then we'll end up married, like the hangover. I was like, yeah. He was like, let's go. And it was kind of that.
Did you pack a special outfit just in case?
Yeah. So once that conversation happened, I was like, so we've booked Vegas, right? He's like, yeah. I was like, so what? I ain't going to go there and just wear something from America. Like, you know, it's going to take a bit of time.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, it wasn't prepared, but it was. So yeah. we knew we were going for like, I mean, who goes to Vegas for 10 days? No one. You go for like 4 days because that's all you can sort of survive. And then we just flew out, and I took a dress that I'd found. I went and did all that, yeah, and I just got a dress. I just thought, oh, I'll just get a dress that I've always wanted. And we had a little budget that we took. And we just went there. And I'll tell you what, I had the time of my life.
Really?
We went to every party, every show. We ate at the restaurants we should never have. You know, like just we did the things in your wildest dreams that you'd never do, in the sense of like we would never eat like on top of it. You know, we hadn't done that because we had nothing really. So,
all that money that you would have spent on a wedding.
Yeah.
Kind of spent on... in
Vegas. Yeah.
But creating those memories and having that magical time together.
It was phenomenal.
Did you think about how long after that you'd start planning for kids?
No. So it wasn't like planning. No. I think for us, getting married started the... Cool.
If we had kids now,
it'd be amazing. I remember feeling like, I want a baby. I do want to have a child. I want to have something for me and you to like try and a different phase of life almost. Because we'd done all those amazing fun things. I think it was 2016, so it wasn't long after I fell pregnant with Phoenix, our first son.
Yeah.
And... Mark was like, you're pregnant. I was like...
Before you'd even taken the test?
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not. What are you chatting about? He's like, you are pregnant. I was like, I'm not!
What were you doing that made him...
Probably being a whiner or something. You know, like, oh, I feel sick. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be sick on myself. And he's like, why? Are you sick? I was like, no. He's like, you're pregnant then. Like, for me, I think I was a bit in denial.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think we were on holiday and I got pregnant, and I kind of thought I knew then, but I was like, no, it doesn't happen like that. People spend years getting pregnant. And then we got home, and it was a friend's hen do weekend at Wilderness, the festival.
Right.
So I'm like, right, I'm going to a festival, got my unitard, got my glitter out. I'm like, I'm going out for a weekend, right? Mark goes, you're pregnant. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going out the door. I'm taking all this and I'm going. He's like, I think you should you're going for a weekend in a tent. You might be pregnant. I think you should try. I was like, oh, do you reckon? He's like, yeah. And then I did this pregnancy test and I came in and went, oh, God, I'm pregnant. He went, yeah. He was over the moon, like jumping up and down. I remember it was a Sunday morning in bed and he was just absolutely the happiest he's ever been. I'm like this. This is not real. This is not real. I'm still going. Right? He's like, Roxy, do you think going to wilderness is probably, you're feeling sick already? I was like, I'm going. He's like, cool. Should we just decant all of the alcohol out of them bottles and maybe go and get some fake stuff that you can put in there and then your friends won't know because you shouldn't really tell anyone yet, just in case. I was like, fine. Like this. What am I doing?
I feel like a teen grumpy teenager.
Yeah. I literally turned into a 16-year-old teenager. Like, fine, take me.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because that would be the first moment where all of a sudden you're no longer thinking of you. You're putting some, all of a sudden, yeah, there are rules, I mean, about how you can be.
I was quite, I think I was hugely selfish before I had kids because I was like, I'm just going to go and do this and that. And woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Whereas that moment was like, okay, I don't want anything to happen to this human. But I think I just didn't really, like, understand what was happening.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I experienced, first of all, early pregnancy, that I'll never do it again. And I did actually go, and I was very safe and stuff. I didn't drill. I didn't do all that stuff. But it was quite an experience because I, at the time, I had no energy.
Yeah.
I was, the first 3 months of pregnancy for me, brutal.
Really?
Whoa. Like, no, I get travel sick on a swing, no lie, on a coach, on a bus, like, you name it. So if I am with child, I am sick, like, really sick. First 3 months, I had hypermeses, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I was in hospital on a drip. And, I was really sick, really, really sick. Nauseous, mainly. I couldn't eat, couldn't do all that stuff. So that moment then, I was like, that turned for me. Because the minute I got sick and I wasn't like, I was like, I really want this. Yeah. I don't want anything to happen to it. And that's where I shifted and was like, I'm pregnant. So, but it's quite hard to be, I'm pregnant, when you're like, I'm a zombie pregnant. Yeah. So it's quite a hard change to go from like that to that.
Yeah.
But Mark really helped me through it because he's just kind of constant. He's my constant of, he's never really like, he just remains like calm and collected and just himself. So he got me through those 3 months. And then after 3 months, it kind of shifted a bit and I just got huge.
Really?
Yeah. Bowling ball on legs.
Did they think you were going to have a big baby?
Yeah. So they were like, it's huge. Because Mark's 6'8". Yeah, they said this to me the whole time. You're going to have a 9-pound, 10-pound baby. I was like, what? Don't tell me. I don't care. Just don't tell me. Yeah. Do you know? Like, I really think they shouldn't tell you things like that. Maybe for preparation, it's always good. But
yeah, but I think if you think something even bigger than that is going to come out, then you're in your mind. Yeah,
especially when I'm sitting looking at a 6'8" man thinking, what's happening here? Because I'm like, honestly, I wouldn't have been able to. I was big. I've always had massive bumps with my children. And it got to a point where I was just, I couldn't, I got SPD, like, I just got everything going. You know what there is. But I still waddled on and I remained.
Quite literally.
I waddled through, And I got to the end phase and I was very proud of myself because at the beginning I didn't really believe much in my body. I wasn't like a massive body confident person.
Yeah.
But after I was like, wow, look at me. I've just made of bones and muscles and a human and a beautiful kid.
Yeah.
So it kind of changed my whole mentality to life in a really good way, in a non-selfish but good way. Yeah,
I think because growing up, I don't know about you, but I was always told how we should feel about our bodies and how you know what's right, what's wrong. So you're always looking for those imperfections.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you give birth, and you're kind of like, actually, I've not given you credit for anything.
Oh, I feel terrible to my body. Like I was always growing up, 14, 16, 18. I was always kind of a bit bigger than my friends and stuff. But I always really embraced it. I had very good friends and supportive family, and I was just always kind of a bit more personality than my body, I suppose. That's what I did that with that. But when I had my babies, I think I just kind of thought, well, this is what's happening right now. And someone said to me, everything is a phase, right? With children, the best advice someone said to me about having a baby was, it's always a phase. The phase will end. Remember, like teething, you know, sickness, da da da. And I almost applied that to me. It was a phase that my body had to go through to build that. So I kind of embraced it. I had my moments where I was like, oh my, everything's changed.
Yeah.
But I found almost peace in that.
Yeah.
Because I needed to, I don't know, I didn't want my kids to feel like that.
Yeah.
You get to a point where you're like, I want him to be kind. I want him to be calm. I don't want him to go to me, Mum. I don't feel like that. I wanted him to just be happy and jolly and get on with life and not be spoilt, but have things that we didn't all have, you know? So, yeah, for me, it did change a lot.
What were your births like?
I think I was quite lucky. I didn't go into my birth like, I've got a plan and this is my set plan.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there is a massive, massive... I know that everyone has different births, right? But I can't even have a filling without an injection. So I was like, all the drugs.
Yeah.
And they were like, Roxanne, you can believe and do this. I was like, I believe. But I need a lot of drugs. Okay, cool. And they were like, sure. They didn't really want to mess with me.
Yeah.
Because I was very adamant at the time. I would like gas and air and I would like an epidural. They said, let's try without the epidural. And to be fair, I did try. And I did. I mean, both my first pregnancy, I got to 4 centimetres dilated without really even knowing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was walking around. So every time I walked, I would get what I thought. Well, I would get a lot of Braxton Hicks, but I would get a lot of pain. And my waters were trickling. Sorry, but they were.
I mean, you're in the right place to share, don't you, Harry?
I mean, yeah. And they said to me, okay, yeah, but I don't think it is. And I was like, well, I've not wet myself like every day. What are you chatting about? And they were like, no, just keep walking. It'll be fine. And, you know, it's your first baby. You're kind of more paranoid. I think we were in triage like 20 times in 2 weeks. Well, maybe less than that. Maybe like 8. Mark will say it's like 20 times. But he was like, we can't go to triage again. I was like, I know. Let's go to triage. So they were very good with me, but yeah, it was trickling a lot, and in the end it was I was just contracting like naturally, and I got to hospital with Phoenix, and me and Mark got there and they were like, you're 4 centimeters, well done. I was like, what? Yes. This is gonna be fine like this. And then they were like, okay, you're admitted. And I was like, cool. And I went in it very positive. I was like, I'm going to breathe through. I'd done a lot of breathing. I'd done a lot of all that stuff. I can hold my breath for 4 minutes.
Nice.
4 minutes.
Good. So that's amazing.
Free diving. That's a different time in my life. And I just thought, do you know what? I'm going to try and apply that. And whatever happens, happens. Because I just want a healthy baby.
Yeah.
So that was it. I got to 5 and I thought I was going to kill Mark. Legit, sort of just kill him. So he was like, hello, someone help her. I was like, epidural now. Cool. And that was it. I had an epidural. The first pregnancy was not filmed. My second was. But my first was pretty, it was kind of just went through it 12 hours active labour. And then I pushed him out in about 15 minutes. And the usual stuff. But it was very like me and Mark. One thing, though, he was born on April Fool's Day.
Oh, that is the best thing ever.
You cannot write that stuff, April Fool's Day. And you know what happened? I haven't told anyone this because I don't know if it's that right, but I will. Basically, the nurse and Mark had conspired to wind me up a little bit. Right.
They didn't play an April Fool's joke,
on you. Baby come out, it's a girl.
No, they didn't.
And I went, what?
It is.
I was jolly, whatever. I was really high on drugs. And they were like, it's a girl. I was like, oh no, what? And they were like, only joking, it's April Fool's Day. Oh,
legally, can you do that? But I was wetting myself. I was like, this is the best. Because it sounds cruel, but it was so good. And it wasn't even filmed. It was nothing. It was just like, and I was on gas there. I was like, oh, this is so funny.
I love it, the fact that an April Fool's joke was played on you.
Yeah.
When giving birth.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, most people probably complained about it, but I actually thought, thank God you've just got me through delivering my placenta and doing all those stitchy things. Because that's what that moment was.
Yeah.
So she just cracked a joke. And I was like, you just didn't crack a joke. You can deliver my next one. And she did.
Did she?
Yeah, she was on, she was on the ward when I went into labour with my second.
How was the second? What made you film this one rather than the first?
I just wanted it documented because there are parts of Phoenix's where I don't remember.
Yeah.
And also I wanted to show my experience.
In 18 years' time when they're back chatting, you can show them.
You can't see it because it's just kind of... But no, it was more like the build-up because Mark is... wonderful birthing partner in the sense like he cracks jokes, he brings TV quizzes.
Does he?
Oh, so annoying. But he brings like these apps that, you know, like what's those with Bradley Walsh? What's that?
The Chase.
Yeah, so he brings the Chase app, right? I hate the Chase. And he'll, what is the leading number one seller? So he'll like take my mind off it. He told dad jokes, annoying. But he just entertains me because he knows how to keep my mind off of being in pain, and he doesn't like me being in pain because he just wants to help. So I wanted that documented because there are many dads in the world and there are many mums having birth and stuff, but no one has really seen, I don't think, what our labour was like. And in all fairness, my second, Kobe, he was born, and as I pushed him out, I was going... I laughed him out. No lie. And not because of all the drugs, but I was just like... And it was... I get this euphoric, like, thing when I'm in labour where I just laugh.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's a nervous thing or I don't know, but it was proof because I was like, I swear I laughed and pushed Phoenix out. But this time we filmed it because... why not? I think everyone needs to see different births. There are so many in the world and so many that I respect, but I just wanted that for me as well because I felt like it was my last as well. I felt like I didn't know if I'd have another one.
Yeah.
So I kind of just wanted that for me, really.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why we filmed it. And also it was good. It was lovely. Like, we've got this family of lab babies who, you know, they'd followed my pregnancy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just wanted to do that, really.
What was it like seeing Mark in the hospital holding Phoenix?
Well, I have a very fond memory of sitting in the bed and Mark sitting, and it was a morning and the light was coming in and he had his new little baby grow on that fit, and Mark was sitting there and I took a photo of him, but I remember sitting there thinking that is my whole life. And Phoenix fit in Mark's hand, like he was tiny, and he was holding his head going, is that how I do it? And I was like, yeah. And that moment for me, and then the nurse bringing in toast and us sitting there having our first breakfast almost.
Yeah.
And then Mark picked up, you know, a rubber ring, blew it up, put it on his head and went, there you go, like this. You know, like a rubber ring that you sit on. I sent him out to get a rubber ring that I could sit on because I was in so much pain. Yeah. He put it on his head, holding my baby like that. And that moment where it just snapshots of Mark with a pink rubber ring on his head holding my kid, I was like, that's just my life.
Did it kind of reassure you as well in that moment?
Yeah.
Because such a monumental thing has happened. And actually what Mark did, and he seems so good at, from what you're saying, is bringing it back.
Yeah, it was like, okay, it's not totally changed who we are.
Yeah.
And he still managed, like, it made me laugh. It broke that kind of like, oh, this is really serious. It kind of made me realise that we can still be us as parents and still parent and family how we do.
Yeah.
And everyone does that, I suppose, in their thing. But at that moment in time, it was it was kind of relief for me. And I was like, right, I can do this with this man. Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad, because it was just like, you worry though,
moment,
don't you?
Good moment.
Is he going to be a dad? Am I going to be a good mom? Like, you just don't ever know. Everything with parent, kids and parenting is just worrying, I think.
Have you found moments where it has just been quite overwhelming?
Yeah, yes, I have. Phoenix having colic was brutal. Put to a point, colic, well, it was every, and he would just cry and cry and cry, and I would say for 2 weeks, maybe three or four, cry everywhere we went, like baby sensory and things like that. I would turn up to those things with Phoenix and he would just cry. He hated them. He didn't like anything sensory. He didn't like anything.
How did you feel in those moments?
I was sad, but do you know what? I would get myself up and go and do those things because my friends that I had met had gone, come, you know, all the babies love it. And I would go, and I did try and enjoy them. But in my, in honesty, like, I liked sort of putting him on the mat and just doing what I could achieve. Do you know what I mean? But I did that to get him out and socialise him and do all those things that they tell you to do. But he just didn't like it. I swear one time Phoenix went, I hate it. Like, I swear he swore. I can't swear. I swear he went. And I swear that was his, like, first word at one of those things. And I said it to Mark. I went, I swear he told me that where we went today was. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, no lie. And in the end, I just thought, do you know what? I ain't doing it to myself. I'm not going to conform to what everyone's making me do and try and pressure myself. I just did what I could. And it was hard because people were like, well, why don't you want to come out and do this and that and have coffee with us and drink with us anymore and do this? I was like, because I physically can't do it.
Yeah.
Phoenix didn't sleep. Hour and a half, 2 hours every night he would wake. And he did that for about a year.
Oof.
He didn't sleep fully till a year and a half.
Right.
It was hard. It was a change. And it was like, but I still dealt with it. I had my mum and my sister and, you know, Mark and that, who got me through it, and some friends. You know, I think I didn't. There were times that were like teething especially.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's just because with the boys, but teething was brutal.
Mm.
I'm talking screaming in the night. Like, me and Mark went on holiday, right? We went on a little family holiday, first holiday. I don't know what it was. We were stupid, maybe 6 months in, 7 months. And we thought, he's a baby. It wasn't a big holiday. And our family had been there a part of it as well. So it was kind of like a break. 3 days straight, Phoenix cried. On the last day of the holiday, he got 2 front teeth.
Oh.
So for us, we were like, that's teething. Cool. Like, it was a shock for me. No one tells you about that. But then I had Kobe and he was like, I've got a tooth. Like,
so funny how different they can be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just their personalities and that's who they are.
Yeah.
They are like that. I mean, it's me and Mark. Kobe's Mark. Phoenix is me. Drama. Chill. That's it.
Parenthood is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Motherhood is hard. And it has an effect on relationships. I think it touches every single area.
Mm.
How has it affected you and Mark?
I think we're just really tired. We're just tired. We've just probably...
Has creating the videos and stuff helped you keep the laughter there?
Oh, yeah. So I think when we first had children, like, it was hard because you lose date nights, you lose... Well, not, you don't lose them, but we don't have family really nearby. So, you know, Mark's parents are in Nottingham, my parents are in Kent and some in London, you know. So, and we didn't really have... We moved to an area we didn't really know anyone.
Yeah.
So when you don't have sort of childcare and stuff that you trust or you know, your life just becomes about parenting and you kind of have to have takeaways in or date nights in and stuff. So for our life changed socially, I would say. We were real social people. We'd go out, we'd go to festivals, music, we'd go away and whatever. But I would say for us, we lost all that because we didn't actively keep doing it because we couldn't cope with like no sleep and trying to be parents to the best. Lad Baby brought us an amazing thing in the sense of, you know, like Mark would say, he'd say, oh, we're going somewhere this weekend and we're going to do something. He wouldn't tell me. And then, you know, for instance, one weekend we went ice skating together and we filmed it. And through Lab Baby, we managed to get sort of our kind of life that we had before back. Because I haven't been ice skating since the dawn of time. But, you know, we went, maybe with the boys I will now, but we did that, or we went to a rally show, or we've been to sort of some parties or a book launch, you know, like we've been invited to some amazing places, but I would say that's what we lost mainly.
Yeah.
And we didn't take time to, it was due to us, because we didn't go, right, we need a date night once a week, da, 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 because we just didn't feel comfortable leaving Phoenix. I think we were just quite like, let's just get through this. And it wasn't for a year or two that we decided, right, now we'll go out and do that sort of stuff. And it wasn't just Lab Baby, but I would say Lab Baby brought us experiences that I would never have even thought we'd do parenting, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you surprised yourself as a mum?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really weird. Mark was talking to me about this the other day. I have surprised myself, mainly because when your kids say stuff to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Phoenix, especially my first, I didn't realise how much personality he has, but how much like he's absorbed. And so everyone always says to me, which I love, like, is your boy's so kind. He's so like so kind. And it was, I think it was like a, you know, you don't ever think, I don't know, I don't ever think, oh, I'm kind and I'm funny. And I don't think like that. But it's not until you see your kids that you think, there's a few things in there that you recognise of yourself or how you've been brought up.
Yeah.
And that's what surprised me, that I was able to, through all the chaos and all of the, oh, this is parenting, he's still not totally crazy.
Yeah.
He's just like a normal kid, and he's just like quite a kind boy. And when Kobe came, like, he's like, he's my brother. And he was very gentle and very like, he said, I remember one day he went to me, I'm really grateful for you, Kobe. And I wasn't there. I know. And sometimes he'll go, thanks for having me, Mum. I'm like, what? How do you understand that concept? Like, he's nearly four this year. But there are things that he sometimes says to me, mainly though, of some things I have passed down, where he goes, that's a bit of you, Mum. I'm like, oh God, I've been watching Love Island too long. And so there's sort of things that I'm like, wow. But some things do surprise me, in the sense of, yeah, we've managed to keep them, I don't know, that we have actually transferred down to them, and they've learned a lot from Phoenix, especially has gained a lot of confidence through Lab Baby.
Really?
Yeah, because he's quite a shy boy, in the sense of, but Lab Baby, he's like, he enjoys being with his dad, and he has time on his dad. You know, he has his Lab Baby and Sons channel on YouTube, and that is time for him and his dad to play with toys and do fun things. So he's benefited, I would say, a lot from that, and learned a lot, like, you know, from the places we've visited.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not many 4-3-year-olds that get to do that. So
it's amazing, isn't it? Look, I think it's one thing looking at your kids and kind of going, look what I've achieved.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like, look what you've helped them achieve.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine them being teenagers and kind of growing up and all of that phase, especially.
Yeah.
Look, this is going to be a winner. But I'm very pleased that I've got that far with them.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't actually, at some points in being a mum, think, poor mate, am I going to do this for another few years? Forever, actually, Rox. Yeah. It's not
a few
years.
It feels relentless, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There are certain moments that just feel like they're never ending.
Yeah, yeah. And especially, like, obviously, me and Mark with Lab Baby, he edits films, runs everything, and we do everything. So there are, our time and everything is just completely always full of that. So I'm really pleased we've managed to make time to keep them and to make them into the kids they are, if you get what I mean. But I'm biased because I'm their mother. I'll always be. People probably think, oh, God, her kid's a nightmare.
I doubt it. So my next book is called Letters on Motherhood.
Right.
I was wondering, it's basically, there are a series of letters all around motherhood. It's basically the clues in the title. And I was wondering, if you could write a letter on motherhood, who would it be to and what would it say?
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, everyone's going to say it, but I would probably write a letter to my mum.
Really?
Yeah, to say thanks for keeping me in the world and actually protecting me from a lot of negativity and thingy and keeping me positive. And to even now, like at Christmas, my mum was like, keep going. You can, you know, this is for the Trestle Trust. My mum was the one who was like, you've got to do it for the Trestle Trust. You know, she's a force of kind of positivity in my life. And I think I think I was like very unappreciative of what my parents did for me. And I was a stroppy teenager and I'd fight with my sister. And me and my sister, I swear, some days would get up and go, how are we going to annoy them today? For me, I would say thank you for putting up with me and surviving it, because my dad was at work far more than what, you know, we are now. And she was a very career motivated woman as well. She ran a charity and she was a force of what she doesn't realise. She actually worked, bought us up, picked us up as well, got us going and did all that stuff. And I genuinely don't know how she did that. I genuinely don't because I couldn't do it all. And I try and it fails miserably sometimes. But I would probably write to her and just say, thanks for, you know, still being here as well, because she's kind of here now to see it all, and everything that she's put into us has come out. I've never really tell
that your mum has had a massive influence. Like, from what you said about her at the start, you can see how you have taken some of those qualities on.
Yeah, I've tried to. I mean, most of the things I know are from what my mum sort of taught me and will even tell me now, or has just brought me up in that way. And I think I am grateful for that. But I wasn't until I had children, because of how hard it is, and you don't realise that. And back then, there was no scrolling at 3 p.m. Instagram. There was no, like, anything to get you through. Yeah. Like, she just did that straight.
Well, and also, I think I've only just realised as well, like, recently, how, for me, my mum is still doubting herself, still wondering if, you know, like, do we think she's done a good job? Now that we are parents, there's that extra layer of, do you think I did a good job with you? Like, you know, and that breaks my heart that my mum feels like that.
Yeah, and not every mum's perfect at all. Like, there are things that I remember and don't remember, and there's things that I will do probably. But I think my mum, even now, I'll say something like, thanks, like in a card for her birthday, thanks for being here, I love you, you know, like, thanks for getting me through some of the hardest times of my life. And she'll go, what? That's a surprise. What? I didn't do that, did I? Like, she doesn't remember. Yeah, I think she's blocked everything out. It's quite nice to remind and to go to her that, nah, man, you did a wonderful thing, because I feel like I owe a lot to her.
Yeah.
Because she did. She poured everything in.
Yeah.
Whether or not you choose to take that on is a different thing, isn't it? And there are things that have happened that have never been great, but, you know, losing people and stuff. But I think for me, I would write a letter to her and just say, thanks.
Nice.
You're wonderful. Thanks for pushing me out. I love you.
Okay, and we end each episode with you finishing three sentences.
Oh, yeah.
Being a mum means?
You live your best life very tired. Without any sleep.
Since being a mum, I?
Don't have a social life, but we'll change that.
Oh, really?
In the future.
Future.
I don't know.
And I'm happy when?
When I'm in PJs. On the sofa, eating, watching films with my kids and my family. Yeah.
Lovely.
Basic.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Delight. Honestly, I can't tell you how much joy you give me.
Oh, so thank you. Thanks for having me on.